God's Word comes to us this morning from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, the 45th verse. Then he opened, Jesus did, to open thoroughly, literally meaning firstborn, to expound. He opened their minds, the intellect, the process of thought, meaning, understanding. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, to comprehend, to consider, understand, and be wise. This is the text. Sometimes pastors write sermons that, well, on very rare occasions, are clunkers. They just don't get across what the pastor's going for. My problem this week is I had a clunker. I wasn't quite sure what to do about it. I read it, and I didn't like it, so why should I burden you with it? Then last night, I watched a documentary. It was not about Christians. It was not about Christ. In fact, it was a man who became Buddhist, became a Buddhist monk, and it was called Monk with a Camera. It was about a man who had been born to a life of utter privilege. I think his mom was editor of Vogue magazine or something like that. He lived in that rarefied air and had been a professional photographer of very high repute. Everyone who was anyone had their portrait taken by him. But during this whole time, living in that life of privilege and wealth, he found himself longing for something more, something deeper in life, something spiritual in life. As it turns out, he turned to Buddhism during the 60s and 70s and there found what he thought he was looking for, a deeper meaning. It's interesting, though, that by the end of the documentary, he was back into photography. Now, he was still a Buddhist, still a monk. In fact, he was an abbot at a monastery, but he was also back into the art photography world to keep making money for this monastery he had built in India. So it was kind of full circle, out from that life of privilege and then back into it again, because it was his friends from the life of privilege that helped him sell his photographs. Now, what in the world does that have to do with today's text? People go looking for an experience with God, for an experience with the divine, the spiritual, the supernatural. That's a very deep felt need among humanity, and today there's a smorgasbord of ways that are offered to do that. Just, again, go up to your local Barnes & Noble and look at the spirituality bookshelf, or go online and Google, you know, finding God, finding the spiritualness of life. I'm a student of the spiritual disciplines that the ancient church practiced: simplicity, fasting, meditation, prayer, all of these things designed to center one in Christ. But where to look? Where to find that encounter with Christ? It would be nice to have an encounter like the disciples had in our reading this morning, to see the physical Christ, to see his wounds, to touch him, maybe even to give him lunch, broiled fish. But even with that, they doubted. They doubted. They were not sure. Christians can even get to looking for God in places where he isn't found. We begin taking up Eastern forms of meditation where we navel gaze and try to empty our heads of thought and hope that in that emptiness God will speak. But He's not there. Or to look deep down inside ourselves. But He does not speak there either. To go on pilgrimages, or even to try spiritual discipline such as fasting as a way to encounter the divine. But what we find there is only darkness, deafness, blindness, and spiritual death. But God doesn't want to leave us in that kind of position. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know ourselves. He wants us to know what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. He wants us to know the life He had planned for us, the life He has planned for us, and life today. And despite all of the running around we may do to find God in all other places, He says, "Here I am found. Here you encounter me. Here I speak to you. Here you know the truth." But it might seem so mundane to us. The Bible, the Scriptures, the little thing we've been, little book we've been carrying since Sunday school. Sometimes we actually read it, and sometimes we just carry it around. Sometimes we get study Bibles, different translations. But just a book? Shouldn't contact with the divine be something harder than that? Shouldn't it require great effort on our part? Not according to God. He reveals Himself in Scripture. He reveals Himself in something as simple as the pages of the Bible, a book so common that you can find it in most hotel dresser drawers, as people have given them away. Bookstores, of course, are full of them. We have them in all our pews. We have them in our Bible classes, in our Sunday schools. The Bible, a simple book, yet not a simple book, because God has attached Himself and His Spirit to that book and to those words in that book. This is where I am found. This is where I speak. That's why we call it holy and not just the book, but the holy book. Through it, God makes us aware of our need for a Savior. He makes us aware of our sin. God, the Holy Spirit, works in hearts and minds through that Word to bring us to the knowledge of God's judgment and our fate under that judgment. That's the law. But He also speaks through that same Word to tell us what God has done about it. That God sent Jesus Christ in our place to take our sin, to take His judgment, to go to the cross, to die for us, to rise so that we may know salvation. Through that book, He tells us of the love He has for us, a love that loves us anyway. A love so deep and profound that God will not stop loving us. We can't even make Him stop loving us. It is there, through that Word, that God also directs our lives towards what is good, towards what is loving, towards what is pleasurable in His sight. That simple, simple book, No pilgrimage, no navel gazing, no arduous task, but a simple book, a common book, the most prolific book in existence. And God speaks to us through its pages. We call it a means of grace, a means through which God has decided to distribute His undeserved love, a means through which the Holy Spirit works to create faith in the gospel and light and life and salvation within us. And so that we may understand the words of Scripture, that it's not written in some arcane code or hard to understand verbiage that you have to ponder to understand, to get the meaning, He gives us His Spirit to thoroughly open our minds, to open our intellects, so that we may comprehend, understand, consider, and be wise in the Word of God. That's what Jesus did for the disciples in our gospel reading. They still doubted even after they touched Him. But He opened their mind to understand the Word of God that had been spoken about Him, that He must suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. It is that same Holy Spirit that He gives to you through the Word of God, so that we may understand what that page says, what God is saying, and to know that it is His voice, to recognize our Master, our God, our Savior, and our friend. So why don't we use it more? Why don't we devote ourselves to studying that Word of God, to knowing its contents, to hearing again and again what God has to say to us, so that it becomes more and more a part of us as the Spirit works through that Word to grow us in the Christian faith? I think it's because of distractions. Signs that point elsewhere, whether they point to other religions or to other places to look. But there is nothing there. We will not hear God's law or God's gospel. We will not hear about redemption, or the cross of Christ. In all of those places, no matter how hard we try, how much we may meditate in the Eastern fashion, what arduous pilgrimage we may make, God makes Himself known in Scripture, and only there. God presents Himself to us in a physical form when we receive Holy Communion. That's because that's the Word of God combined with elements. And with that, we receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We touch God. Or should I say more accurately, God touches us. In holy baptism, it is the same. An element, water, connected with the Word of God. Coming again through that Scripture creates a sacrament in which God enters the life of a child, to create life eternal, to create saving faith, to make that child His child. It's so simple, it almost gets overlooked. God says, "Here I am, and I will open your mind. This book is my word to you. Who I am and who you are to me, and the marvelous plans I have for you and what lay ahead." The Scriptures, ordinary common, everyday, simple. Yet they're also the place of the powerful encounter with God Himself and His Word, His pages, with His love. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life which is everlasting. Amen.